From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the law of God. In treating the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has dealt with each one in a separate message. The sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." As we've already seen, this refers to the unlawful taking of human life, in other words, murder. There are those who would try to apply this commandment to the environment, but that is a misuse of the Scripture. The Bible is very clear about this commandment's application, for in the New Testament, Christ quoted it as, "Thou shalt do no murder." According to the Bible, there are certain instances in which the taking of human life is allowed, such as capital punishment, self-defense, or war. However, as a general rule, the sixth commandment forbids callous disregard for human life, whether on the part of an individual or of the state. Included here would be homicide murder. It also applies to feticide, better known as abortion. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Tears Shall Cease. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Yes, we shall come to this if we are believers. Sorrow shall cease, and tears shall be wiped away. This is the world of weeping, but it passes away. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth, so says the first verse of this chapter, and therefore there will be nothing to weep over concerning the fall and its consequent miseries. Read the second verse, and note how it speaks of the bride and her marriage. The Lamb's wedding is a time for boundless pleasure, and tears would be out of place. The third verse says that God Himself will dwell among men, and surely at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, and tears can no longer flow. What will our state be when there will be no more sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain? Oh, this will be more glorious than we can as yet imagine. Oh, eyes that are red with weeping, cease your scalding flow, for in a little while ye shall know no more tears. None can wipe tears away like the God of love, but He is coming to do it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Come, Lord, and tarry not, for now both men and women must weep.
Trust in God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
The Bible does not teach pacifism. It would be wonderful indeed if every nation and every ruler in the world adopted pacific views and said, we outlaw war. That would be a wonderful thing indeed, if everybody was full of sweet reason. But that's not the world we live in. And aggressors must be stopped. Abraham, with the blessing of God, fought against Chedorlaomer and his confederates when they came on a war of aggression. The children of Israel fought against Amalek when Amalek came and smote the hindmost of them. And not only did they do so with the blessing of God, but with such a blessing from God that hundreds of years later, God said, I remember what Amalek did unto you. Blot out their name. Go and fight against them. So aggressors may and indeed must be stopped. The self-defense of a nation is a just reason for a war that kills. The protection of our allies, as in the case of Israel coming to the aid of the Gibeonites against their surrounding enemies, is the case of a just war. And killing in this case is not unlawful. Thus we find in Scripture that men of war may well at the same time be men of God. David was certainly a man of blood, a man of war from his very youth. But he was also the man after God's own heart. The centurion whom we meet in Matthew chapter 8 was a serving soldier in the most efficient military machine the world had ever seen until that time. But the Lord Jesus said that he possessed the greatest faith of any person he had met in Israel or anywhere else. Cornelius was another centurion in that same Roman army. But God said his alms were respected and they came into remembrance before God. So it's possible to be a man of war and yet a man of God. We can say that the sixth commandment does not refer then just to all kinds of killing, but only to unlawful killing. The Shorter Catechism grasps the full force of the commandment. It says what it requires and what it forbids. The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. And then it forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly. And it adds significantly, or whatever tendeth thereunto. Now, with that in mind, let's come to the sixth commandment and see what it really means. I think that you will see that this commandment, thou shalt not kill, enjoins us to have such a respect for human life that we ensure its protection and preservation by all scriptural means. And as we think of that, let me remark first that the sixth commandment forbids a disregard for human life, and it condemns every murderous act or intention against it. Now, there are very obvious ways in which people may break the sixth commandment. Homicide is the deliberate slaying of another. And this commandment condemns all unlawful killing, whether by an individual or by an organized group or even by the state. Historically, the Bible tells us of the Church of Rome drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. History tells us of her terrible Inquisition, wherein tens of millions of people were slaughtered for their faith in Christ. Tell of her persecutions through the centuries that added more millions to that awful number of the slain. In the century in which we live, the greatest vehicle of death has been what we now call the state. It has been reckoned by some that in this 20th century, the state. Now, understand, I'm not talking about this state, but the state, as it is now called, looking at the nations of the world. The state has killed more people in this century than in the previous 19 centuries put together. Some put that number at 125 million people. I personally think that is a very, very conservative number. I think that the communist government of China approaches that number all by itself. So, the greatest perpetrator of unlawful killing in the century in which we live has been the state in various parts of the world. Add to that the explosion of terrorist killings. Now, the sixth commandment condemns unlawful homicide, even when it has the weight of the law of the state behind it. And it condemns unlawful killing, even when terrorists cloak their killing with their rantings and their ravings of respected philosophers. What is not usually understood, when you see a terrorist killing, the television cameras go in, they show the mangled bodies, and they talk about these people being animals. To be quite honest, I think if I were an animal, I would say that was a very sore distress, because no animal was ever as vicious. These are not animals. These are men sold to sin and Satan. But they show the widows weeping and the children weeping. And they think maybe this will move the terrorist or their supporters. But they're just showing how little they understand of the mindset of terrorism. You see, all European terrorism in this modern era is the execution. And remember that in Europe, the great terrorist movements, with the possible exception of the IRA, but it's only a possible exception. I'm not going into the reasons why I say that. But throughout Europe, the terrorist movements are not movements of the poor and the repressed and the needy. They are movements of the intelligentsia. They are movements led by people who studied existential philosophy in the great halls of learning in Europe and imbibed the follies, especially of the existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre. He's the one who gave the mindset for the modern movement of terrorism. He's the one who said that the state was institutionalized violence. Once you have law and order, you have force, and therefore it's institutionalized violence. He's the one who proposed that the reply to institutionalized violence is necessary violence. And so, when a terrorist organization goes into operation, it is aiming against the state. Here in the United States, some of you will remember the name of Norman Mailer, a man who in the 1950s and 60s set about giving a philosophical reason to support terrorism. When two young men were here in the United States arrested for brutally murdering a 50-year-old small shopkeeper, he justified their action by saying that this was not violence just against a shopkeeper, but the violence against the shopkeeper is violence against property. Violence against the stated order. Violence against the establishment. This is anarchy with a philosophical face to it. So that the terrorist sees the soft target as the soft underbelly of the state, and he can destabilize it and hopefully, from his point of view, hopefully overthrow it by what we take to be mindless acts of violence. Let me tell you, terrorists never commit mindless acts of violence. They are thinking out their evil design very, very carefully. But though they do not lack philosophers, and indeed in this day and age, theologians, to give credence to their murderous schemes, God says, "Thou shalt not kill," and he condemns their terrorism. So there is homicide by the state, by the church, by terrorist organizations, and of course, by individuals. One writer says the future for murder is bright in America. Just think of it. The great cities of this nation are cursed by wickedness and violence. Little children grow up in homes where they watch television for 6 or 8 hours a day. They witness murder and bloodshed and mayhem. While television is not the only culprit, it is certainly one culprit. They go out and they put it into action. There are parts of this country where a teenager has only one chance in five of making it out of his teens, and 4 chances out of 5 of being murdered before he does so. Over all of which God says, "Thou shalt not kill." So there's homicide. Then, to give it its technical title, there is feticide, which we know more popularly by the name abortion. This is the national scandal. Some 30 to 40 million unborn infants murdered in their mother's womb since the fateful Supreme Court decision to allow it legally. Even the very use of the name fetus is a deliberate philosophical ploy to depersonalize that unborn child. It's not a child we're killing. It's just an unviable fetus. There's no doubt from the Word of God that a fetus is a child. In the Old Testament scriptures, in the Hebrew language, there is no word for a fetus. It is a child. That's what the scripture calls it, even in the womb. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, and John the Baptist was yet, according to these people, just a fetus. The Bible said he was a baby. He was a babe. The arguments that are advanced in favor of feticide or abortion are absolutely empty. I get sick of listening to these. Day by day, the woman's right to do as she likes with her body. Well, let's concede her the right, although it's a very dubious concession. But for argument's sake, let's concede her right to do as she likes with her body. What we're saying is she should exercise that right before she conceives. We hear of the woman's right to choose. What we are suffering from here in America, at least in part, is a very skillful ad campaign where pro-murder is now benignly called pro-choice. We're not against a woman choosing. What we're saying is if she doesn't choose to have children, she should choose not to conceive them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.